We're looking once again this evening with the Lord's help to the words that we find in Luke 22. In verses 31 and 32, we considered the first verse particularly this morning. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired, or Satan hath demanded you, that he may sift you as wheat. And then the next verse, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This morning we considered Satan's plan for Simon. We noted that Simon, of course, didn't know anything about Satan's plan. Satan wanted, as it were, to lay his hands upon Simon that he might sift him as wheat. Just as Simon was ignorant of the devil's plan for him, so we also are ignorant. We don't know what the devil has planned for us. And so then we find that the Lord instructed Simon regarding this particular matter. And in instructing him, he wanted Simon Peter to give attention to what he had to say. So he calls out his name on two occasions, Simon, Simon. And then he follows that up with the word behold. Because what the Lord had to say was for Simon's benefit. And again, when the Lord's word comes to us, it's for our benefit. We drew attention to the words of J.C. Ryle. J.C. Ryle said, there is no enemy so dangerous as that restless, invisible, experienced enemy, the devil. And then we considered the informing of Simon. The Lord, upon getting Simon's attention, then informed him, telling him, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He pointed out that the word desire means demanded. Demanded to have Simon, that he may sift him as wheat. And then we have the intentions of Simon. Or the intentions for Simon, rather, the devil's intention. What he intended to do, intended to sift Simon as wheat. The word sift means to shake. Intended to shake Simon. Shake his faith, shake his trust, shake his confidence in the Lord. But then the Lord followed up those words with these great words, but I have prayed for thee. They're very comforting words. But I have prayed for thee. And that's where we take up our study tonight. This morning we had Satan's plan for Simon. Tonight we have the Savior's praying for Simon. Simon was ignorant, as we pointed out, of the activity of his adversary. But we see here that the Savior was not ignorant of the devil's activity. And here we take note of the fact of his foreknowledge in prayer. The Lord's foreknowledge in prayer. Simon did not know anything about Satan's planning of his downfall, but the Savior knew all about it. The Lord was able to inform Simon about the sifting before it ever took place. The Savior saw the problem before Simon ever knew there was a problem. We considered that some time ago. That very thing, when the Lord challenged one of his disciples how they were going to feed 5,000 men. And the Lord challenged Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. In other words, the Lord Jesus saw the need of the multitude before Philip or any of the disciples ever knew there would be a need. There was a need. As far as the disciples were concerned, they were happy enough just to dismiss the multitude and send them away. But the Lord has never sent anyone away from Him empty. And He said this to prove Philip, because he himself knew what he would do. And here we have the same truth and the same thought here. That before Simon Peter knew anything about Satan's plan for him, the Lord Jesus knew all about it and was able to tell Simon. And was able to tell Simon, Satan has desired to have thee that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. I have already been praying for thee, Simon. Before Satan lays his hands upon you, as it were, before he sifts you, before he shakes you, I have been praying for you. The Lord knew all about the shaking that he would experience. And before the shaking and before the sifting, there was the supplications. The Savior was already praying for Simon. Before Satan raised a hand against Simon, Jesus was praying. Before Satan spoke a word against Simon, Jesus was praying. Before Satan moved to implement his wicked plan, Jesus was praying. Before Satan laid the snare for Simon, the Lord Jesus was already at prayer. And he who is omniscient knows every sly move of the devil, knows every wicked intention, knows every evil invention of our adversary. And the Lord Jesus knows all the plans the devil has for you and me. Because as we pointed out this morning and the scriptures taught us, the devil has his own plan for us to try and destroy us. He will not be able to damn our souls, but he'll go as near to that as he possibly can. He's out to destroy us. But we praise the Lord that he, whoever liveth to make intercession for us, stays the hand of Satan. Whenever Satan raises that hand against us, and Christ stays the hand of Satan by his prayers. He who knows all things frustrates every scheme that Satan hatches against the child of God. And how does the Lord frustrate him? By his praying. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed, I have prayed. Whatever plan Satan has for you, I have been praying for you. I have been combating his plans and his wicked devices and his cunning devices. I have been combating those things by praying for you. And dear believer, have you ever thought of this? Have you ever thought how many troubles and pains and woes the devil could have inflicted upon us if it were not for the foreknowledge of Christ and if it were not for his praying? We may never know what sins would have overtaken us. We may never know what sorrows may have engulfed us. had the Savior not been praying for us. We may never know what trouble we would have fallen into, what tears we would have shed, what tempests we would have had to endure had the Lord Jesus not have been praying for us and stayed the hand of the wicked one. That's something we should think about. What would we have suffered at the hands of the wicked one as he set out to destroy us if the Lord Jesus had not have been interceding on our behalf? But I have prayed for thee. For the Lord Jesus spared Simon Peter a great deal more trouble than what he fell into. He spared Simon. He spared him by his prayers. The Lord Jesus prayed. Pray he must, and pray he did, informing us and informing Simon Peter. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Something, as we mentioned this morning, we ought to tell the Lord on a daily basis. Thank him for praying for us. Thank him for staying the hand of the wicked one. Thank him for frustrating every plan and purpose of our adversary. We see his foreknowledge in prayer. We see his faithfulness in prayer. Usually when we learn of someone who is going through a time of trial and trouble, we will automatically say to that person, and we trust in all sincerity, well, brother or sister, we'll be praying for you. We just ask tonight that we would remember that bereaved family in our prayers. And no doubt we will pray for Anne and Peter and the family circle. And during such times it is comforting to know that somebody is praying for us. In her time of testimony last night, Mrs. McClellan said that very thing. When she had that surgery early on in the year, and the phone calls she received and the cards and the get well cards, and she says it was most comforting to know that many of God's people were praying for me, not just in my own congregation, but all over the world. And it is comforting when you're going through the fiery furnace. It is comforting whenever you're going through a deep valley or passing through a dark night or a terrible storm in your life. It is most comforting. And I can speak from experience. It is most comforting when you know people are praying for you. When God's people are holding you up at the throne of grace. But how much more comforting it is to know that we have one who sits at the Father's right hand that is praying for us. Faithfully praying for us. And to know that he is praying for us even before the trouble or the trial breaks upon us. He's already been holding up our names before his heavenly Father before trouble comes. Because he knows what is and what lies before us. And we praise God that the Lord our Savior thwarted the plans of Satan the plans that he had for Simon. He supported Simon with his prayers. He sheltered Simon with his prayers. He sympathized with Simon with his prayers. And with Satan intent on destroying God's servant, where would Simon have been had the Lord Jesus not prayed for him? We know what Simon did. We know what he did that night. The Lord told him what he would do. He would deny him 3 times. We know that he would go out and weep bitterly. We know that Simon felt his work for the Lord was finished. His ministry was finished because he went back to the fishing. But how much deeper would he have gone into the mire? How much further would he have gone back from the Lord had the Lord Jesus not have prayed for Simon Peter? He told Simon what was before him. Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And here we see the power of prayer. The power of the Savior's prayers. The Lord had power in prayer to frustrate the devil and his wicked purposes. And he did it by prayer. The weapon the Lord Jesus used against the devil was prayer. Do you notice that? Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. The weapon that he used was prayer. Is the Lord not teaching us something here about the power of prayer? For listen, we can never outwit the devil. We can never outrun the devil. We can never outmaneuver the devil. But we can do this. We can outpray the devil. Because the devil prays. The devil prays. You've only to turn to Mark 5. When the Lord went across to Gadara and healed Legion. And we are told that the evil spirits besought him. They prayed. That they would be cast into the swine. But dear child of God, while we may not be able and we cannot outwit the devil, outrun the devil, outmaneuver the devil, we can certainly outpray the devil. Because prayer is the greatest weapon we can use against Satan. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. It is not what we want to do. We want to make the devil tremble. It's not what Queen Mary said of Scotland. She said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the armies of England." You turn, please, to Luke chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then he lists the different parts of the Christian's armor. Then we come down to verse 18. Praying. Always. with all prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. There you have the twin words again, if you like, prayer and supplication. Prayer having more to do with worship, supplication having to do with laying hold on God, being earnest about seeking God. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that's what we ought to be doing. That's what we ought to do. We ought to cultivate the habit of praying one for the other, that the devil will not overtake any one of us. We need to be like the Lord, faithful in prayer. We'll defeat the devil every time if we give ourselves to praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watch him. Be sober, be vigilant. Watching. So we've noted then the Lord's foreknowledge in prayer, his faithfulness in prayer. But then we notice further his focus in prayer. We turn again to Luke 22. In verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. There was his focus. We look carefully at these words, and the Lord in his praying focused on the faith of Simon. I'm sure there are other things the Lord could have prayed about regarding Simon. But the only thing he mentions here is his faith. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. This is what C.S. Spurgeon said. Faith is the standard bearer in every spiritual conflict. And if the standard bearer fall, then it is an evil day indeed. He goes on to say, therefore our Lord prays that the standard bearer may never fall or never fail to hold up his banner in the midst of the fray. Faith is a standard bearer in the battle. And dear Christian, if the standard bearer fall, in other words, if our faith completely fails, we're defeated. The enemy will overrun us. Because you think of this, believer. Think of this, that if faith fails, everything else fails. If faith fails, then courage fails. Patience fails. Hope fails. Love fails. Joy fails. Everything fails if faith fails. And there we see the reason why the Lord said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Evidently, this was the target of Satan, the faith of Simon. You see, if the devil can destroy our faith in God, our faith in Christ, he has conquered us. He's won the victory. And the Lord Jesus was aware of this. The Lord Jesus was aware of the fact that Satan was concentrating on the faith of Simon. And that's why the Lord said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You take that Greek word fail. The Greek word fail is the root of our English word eclipse. That thy faith eclipse not. And so the focus of our Lord's intercession was that Simon Peter's faith might not altogether die. Though for a time it may have been very weak. For faith is the root of the whole Christian character. And the part which Satan specifically labors to overthrow and destroy. But with his Savior praying for him, the best that Satan could do at this time of trial, the best he could do was to shake his faith. To sift him. And believer, that's the best that Satan can do in his attack upon us. He has attacked us in the past and he'll do it again. He'll only leave us for a season. And once again, he will rise up against our faith in God and our faith in Christ and our trust and our confidence in the God who saved us. But glory to God, hallelujah. We have one in the glory who's praying that our faith fails not. Oh yes. Do we not lament at times how weak our faith is? How frail our faith is? Of course we do. How we long to have that faith as a grain of mustard seed that can move mountains. How we would love to have the faith that George Mueller had, who trusted the Lord implicitly. There was never any doubt in Mueller's mind that the Lord would fail him in supplying the need for the children of his orphanages. Never any doubt. And how we'd love to have that faith. So often our faith is weak and so often our faith is shaken. And rattled, as it were. I know that was the case a number of years ago when Pastor Mullen took his own life. It was an illness that he was suffering from. And the doctor had informed his sons before their father took his life, that something like that would be possible. But I know that there were those, and Mr. Bullen said it himself, there were those who followed him around wherever he was preaching. They would follow him around just to listen to him preach. And he would often give off to them and rebuke them and say, you should be in your own church. But they so enjoyed and were so blessed with the preaching of Pastor Mullen that wherever he was, that's where they were. And then on that day, just a few days before Christmas, the news came across Pastor Mullen was dead. That was bad enough, but when people heard how he died, their faith was shaken. Because Pastor Mullen always had a ministry where he was comforting God's people and encouraging God's people and seeking to strengthen God's people. And this would have been the last thing that anyone would have thought Mr. Mullen would have done. And their faith was shaken. So shaken that many of those same followers could not bear to go to his funeral. And the majority of the people at Pastor Mullen's funeral were Free Presbyterians, because I was there. And dear Christians, there are those times maybe when our faith will be so shaken. Something like that will happen. May happen. Something we can't understand, we can't explain. When our confidence, perhaps in God, may be shaken at times. But praise the Lord that we'll never die because Christ is praying. And sometimes our faith will be so shaken. We'll wonder, does it exist at all? But it's there. It hasn't died because Christ is praying. And our trust in the Lord may be so shaken at times, but it will never die. It will never eclipse because Jesus is praying. And our belief in God may be shaken at times, but it will never die. Why? Because there's one, the Father's right hand, who is praying for us. Simon, Simon, behold. Listen to me, Simon. Satan hath demanded you that he may sift you and shake you and sift you as wheat. But I want you to know, Simon, I have prayed for thee. What have I prayed for? I have prayed that your faith fails not. What a wonderful Savior we have. We rightly so concentrate on what the Lord did for us at Calvary. We should always do that. But let us not forget what the Savior continues to do for us. He continues to pray for us. And I emphasize that thought again. Where would we be today? As Christians, if the Lord Jesus had not been praying for us. We've seen then in the Lord's praying for Simon, his foreknowledge in prayer, his faithfulness in prayer, his focus in prayer. Let me notice his fullness in prayer. There is something very interesting about the words that Christ used when he spoke to Simon. Words that should bring comfort to all of us here tonight. Look at the words, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. The word you. Satan hath desired to have you. Singular. In the original, it is in the singular. Satan hath desired to have you. Particularly you, Simon, at this time. You know, and as I was studying that portion, why did the devil single out Simon? The other disciples would certainly come under the attack of the devil. There's no doubt about that. But why at this time did he single out Simon Peter? And I thought to myself, was it because Simon was more zealous? And we know that sometimes Simon's zeal was not according to knowledge, but he was zealous. And you'll often find that the most zealous Christians are those that are attacked more often than others by the devil. And Simon came under the attack of the devil. Satan had desired you, Simon. But then the Lord says in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. The word thee is plural. Satan had desired to have you, but I have prayed for thee. See what the Lord was teaching, not only Simon, but the disciples that were there. Brethren, I've been praying for you all. I have prayed for thee, John, Andrew, and Thomas, Nathaniel. I've been praying for you all. Isn't it good to know that when the devil comes against us as individuals, that the Lord has been praying for us? And while the devil may be focusing upon one person in particular, not only is the Lord praying for that one person that their faith fail not, but he's praying for all of us. I have prayed for thee. I prayed for you all. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful great high priest. What a wonderful mediator. What a wonderful friend. I have prayed for you all. Because sooner or later the devil will attack you as well. But I have been praying for thee. And how comforting that is. So in Christ, our great high priest, we have one who is always praying for us. Romans chapter 8. And verse 26. You see, we have more than one person praying for us. Romans 8 and verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In the next verse, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And you go on down the chapter to verse 34, and here is Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. All of us. Hallelujah. All of us. All of us. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. In Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. My, isn't that good to know? It's good for us, brethren and sisters, when we have a brother or a sister who's telling us, I pray for you every day. And we rejoice in that. But then we hear of that same brother or sister has been called home to glory, and their prayers will cease. They'll not be praying for us anymore. But we have one who'll never die. And Christ ever liveth. So he'll always be praying for us. His prayers for us shall never cease. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Christ lives in the power of an endless life. And he's always praying for us. He will never fail to pray for us. He will never falter in praying for us. He will never forget to pray for us, because he lives to pray for us. And when Satan is on the prowl to devour us, and Satan is planning to destroy us, and when Satan is preparing to snare us, praise the Lord, Jesus is praying for us. And finally, you have the fruit of his praying. We know that the Lord's prayers are always answered. Couldn't have a better person to pray for us then, because the Lord's prayers are always answered. And that is indicated to us here, and was indicated to Simon, when the Lord said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The word converted does not refer to a person becoming a Christian. So the Lord wasn't speaking about Simon Peter becoming a Christian after this sifting by the devil. That's not the word there that's used by the Savior. The word there means to turn. To turn around. The word can also mean to recover from a fall. Now we get the picture. Yes, Simon Peter would fall. He would deny his Lord 3 times. He would go out and weep bitterly. But remember, the Lord was praying for Simon. And while Simon may have fallen, and he did, he would not be utterly cast away. The prayers of Christ would preserve him in this attack by the devil. And we see in Psalm 37 and verse 24, we have these words, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him. Upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord upholdeth him. He shall not be utterly cast down. And Simon certainly fell, but he was not utterly cast down. The Lord's prayer for Simon was answered. Look again. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And if thou art converted? No. When thou art converted, strengthen my brethren. When, Simon, you are turned around, following the Lord afar off, you remember. He denied the Lord. He stood with the ungodly warming himself at the fire, and the Lord says, when thou art turned around, strengthen thy brethren. What a comfort. If only Simon had have listened to what the Lord was saying, what a comfort that would have been. In many ways, first of all, just to know the Savior was praying for him and had been praying, but also that he would be rescued and that he would be used again in the Lord's work. You'll be able to strengthen your brethren. And my Simon would certainly be able to do that. He would have some story to tell. And you've only to read his two epistles and see there how Simon makes reference from time to time to what he had been through. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Simon could say, I was there. I know what it's like, brethren. Listen to me. And he would seek to strengthen them in their faith. You think of what Simon did. And here's the Lord. And he's already promising Simon second chance. Simon, when thou art turned around, I want you to strengthen your brethren. And when we read John 21, one of my favorite portions in Scripture, where Simon Peter and six of his fellow disciples had gone fishing, labored all night, caught nothing. The stranger on the shore appeared and told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship. They filled their net with fishes. And the Lord then said to Simon, come and dine. And Christ restored Simon Peter to his first love. And then he said to Simon, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Strengthen my brethren. He's a wonderful Savior, is he not? That when we fall, he doesn't cast us off. He'll give us another chance. Wonderful Lord. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when thou art turned around, strengthen thy brethren. May we take comfort from God's word tonight, knowing that we have one who's always praying for us. Let's bow our heads now in prayer. O Lord and gracious God, we bless thee for the faithfulness of our Savior. We thank thee that he's praying for us even now. We thank thee that he knows the wily, crafty ways of the evil one. He knows what he's about. And before he comes and attacks us, the Savior has already been praying for us. O Lord, we thank thee for praying for us. Write this word upon our hearts. May we be encouraged and take comfort from it. And Lord, when we are being sifted as wheat, when we are being shaken, may we think and realize, bring to mind, there's one in the glory who's supporting us in prayer. Bless his name. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Thank thee, Lord, for the congregation here. for each one gathered here tonight, for those unable to be here. Oh Lord, keep each one, I pray, as the apple of thine eye. Be with us now and grant us, Lord, thy presence as we make our way home. Be with us throughout this week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.